Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. Last Saturday, my wife and I were invited to a Kentucky Derby party. Anybody ever been to one of those? Those are so cool. And I'm a big sports fan, but I really, really love the Kentucky Derby because there's so much history behind it. I don't know if you knew this. That is the longest running sports event in America, and it's 148 years old. And they call it the most exciting 2 minutes. So it's cool. You go to a party, and there's great food, and there's drinks. Everybody gets to wear these crazy hats. So Kara and I are at this party, and everybody places a $2 bet down on the horses, So I kind of checked into that online. And so we're having a great time. We all gather when it actually happens, when the event happens, we're all gathered around the big screen. And, of course, you have your favorites, right? So, the odds really play into this. Las Vegas is really huge on the whole thing. And I'm listening, to the announcer as the horses are going around the track. And everything is pretty much going as it's supposed to. The front runners are the front runners. Everything has kind of come along pretty good. And as they're getting down the final stretch, suddenly there's this horse that just breaks out of nowhere. Rich Strike, 80-1 odds. And I'm watching this and I'm going, this is crazy. Like, this horse is not supposed to do anything. It was an entry really late. And it's going, and it goes by, the horses in third and the horses in second, and pretty close to the finish line, it makes a bolt. And I'm watching the jockey, and he is just beating this horse, he is just after this horse. Some horses respond to the whisper, and some to the whip. Well, this particular horse, man, he was responding to the whip, and it wins the race. I thought the announcer was going to lose his mind, because this horse was not supposed to win. But it did, against all odds, 80-1. There's only been one horse in 148 years that actually had greater odds than Rich Strike. I thought it was kind of funny. Afterwards, they were interviewing the owner. He looked like he was in shock. His father was openly weeping. It was just one of those moments, and I kind of got caught up in the moment. I'm like, wow, this is so incredible. And it made me think really about the story that we're going to be in today, about the story of Gideon in chapter 7. But it was really one of those odds things. Against all odds, he succeeded, and Israel succeeded, and God came through in a huge way. But I want to ask you this question this morning, a very personal question to you. You ever feel like the odds are stacked against you? Maybe on a personal level, in some particular area in your life. I don't know about you, but for the last 2 years, when all of the whole pandemic thing began, and then all of the other events that were a part of the pandemic began, I felt like the odds were not only stacked against me, but I felt like so much of what I believe in as a Christ follower, so much that I care about, I felt like I was losing. I don't know if any of you felt that way, but man, I just felt like we are losing, and it's just a terrible thing to feel, whether it was in our schools or whether in our politics or what was happening in our country. And, that's not a good feeling. I don't know about you. I like to win. Anybody here like to win? Yeah. I'm all about winning. I don't like to feel like I'm losing, but that's the way that I felt. One thing that I do, though, love, and maybe some of you can relate to this, if I'm watching a sporting event, it's like if it's not my team, I always pull for the underdog. Always, which means I kind of lose a lot in terms of teams that I support. I'm a Padre fan, so, I'm used to losing. Today we continue our series, Breaking Bad. And so we've been in the book of Judges, and so we're going to do a really quick review out of the book of Judges. If you've never read the book, I want to warn you, this is a very, very dark book. It is, in my estimation, the darkest book of the Bible. Instead of calling it Judges, they should call it How Low Can You Go? Because, I mean, these people go down to the depths of depravity. When I'm talking about these people, I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about the Israelites, and it all plays out in the book of Judges. So they've got 300 years that are represented in the book of Judges, and it's really, really a bad history of Israel, which is saying a lot because Israel has some really, really bad history. And if you have followed this, if you've read through the Old Testament, you know that like Israel is kind of the focal point of the Old Testament. Everything sort of circles around Israel. And what you see is that God continues to intervene. And so the Bible says this, if you're a person of God, so Old Testament, you know, it was Yahweh God, right? Today it's Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament times, God would intervene because he loved his people. He had a covenant with the Jews, the Israelites. And every time that they began to do what they did, which was get off track, and they began to worship other idols and just did horrible things, God would intervene. And the way that he would intervene is that he would punish them. He would discipline them. Not because he was a bad father, but because he was a good father. The book of Hebrews tells that. That God, in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, that he loves us. And sometimes because he loves us so much, if we're going off the rails, God will intervene. And this is actually what he does. Now, if you have read, how many of you have read the Old Testament maybe once or twice, a couple times? And so you've seen this play out. In fact, after a while, you're like, you can get a real attitude about Israel. You can just be like, seriously, Israel? Like, you do this over and over and over again. God blesses you, you say thank you, and then you like go run off and you get crazy and you get stupid, and then God disciplines you and you come back, and this goes over and over again. And I remember at some point in my life reading about this and thinking, how stupid can you be? Like, how stubborn? How dumb can you be? And then as I was reading one day, the Lord reminded me, he said, Steve, sometimes you're Israel. We are. It's like looking at our own lives sometimes. And so just for a moment, just so we can all own this collective experience, I want you to say with me, sometimes I'm Israel. Okay, y'all ready? Here we go. Sometimes I am Israel. Some of you didn't really get into that too much, okay? Online, you too, online, okay? Sometimes I am Israel. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Now, the reoccurring theme is every man did as he saw fit in his own eyes, which means there's basically kind of the spirit of anarchy. I'm just going to do what I want to do, which reminds me a lot of what's going on in our country today. Everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. In today's culture, it sounds something like this. Just live my truth. You do you. Doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're true to yourself. And we could just go on and on. But here's the thing. I mean, even when I said that, maybe some of you were like, well, that's kind of cool. Not if you're a Christ follower, because that's not the way we live. We live, if we're serious about our faith, we live by the ways of Christ. And it's a pretty tall order. And truth matters. Truth matters. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Hope probably a lot of you have. But we're getting further and further away from truth. Today, it's like, well, truth, who knows what truth is? And truth is relative. And it's kind of confusing. And I feel like somewhere there's a war room. And Satan and all of his fallen angels are just going, you know what we need to do? We need to confuse every Christ follower. And let's just make truth so out there that nobody really knows what it is. And today, I feel like in our country, that's kind of what it's come to. People have become very cynical about the truth. Everything from, you know, well, I don't know, I saw the news and I found out it was fake news and all the stuff on, you know, social media. I don't know if I can believe half the stuff that I hear. And there's kind of a crisis of truth. Do we really have truth? And so in this case, all these years ago, Israel had wandered away from God. And when you wander away from God, you lose truth. Remember, Jesus said, I am the truth. So we come to Gideon. A couple weeks ago, Tony introduced us in the sixth chapter of Judges, and there's this amazing young man, who has an encounter with the Lord. So in Judges 6:6, this is it says, "So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites, and then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help." So Israel is in a really bad place. They're literally living in caves. They're on the run. The Midianites are their enemy, and they're making life just absolutely miserable for them. They're starving. And this was all Gideon knew. So Gideon is a young man, and actually when the angel of the Lord comes, he's actually in hiding at that moment, and the angel of the Lord tries to encourage him, but Gideon has a real honest conversation with the angel of the Lord. He goes, "Look, I've heard about the greatness of God. I've heard about Moses. I've heard about the Red Sea. I've heard about all the things that God has done in the past, but I've known none of it. All I've known is misery all of my life." And the angel of the Lord says to him, "Gideon, we're going to change all of that. You are going to lead Israel out of captivity, and you're going to be the one who's going to free your people." Now, as Tony talked about a couple of weeks ago, they were terrified. They were really afraid. You would be too. Because the Midianites they outnumbered them by thousands and thousands. They had military strategies, and they had weapons, and they had things that Israel just didn't have. So God convinces Gideon that he's the one. So here's where we're going to pick it up. If you have your Bibles or your apps or whatever, go to chapter 7 of the book of Judges. We're going to read the first three verses here. "So Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, "and his army got up early, went as far as the spring of Herod. And the armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'You have too many warriors with you.'" Can you imagine? You're already outnumbered, and you hear God say, "Yeah, you got too many warriors. If I let all of them fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, that they may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. Wow. I mean, if you're a military leader and you see, you know, you had 32,000, now you're down to 10,000. That's scary, but you know, God is up to something. So here's the question that I want to sort of circle around today. And the question is this: what do I do when the odds are against me? What do I, on a personal level, what do I do when the odds are against me? And the first thing that we need to do is we need to assess the situation. So Gideon and the Israelites were obviously in a desperate, desperate situation. And I think the question that we always need to ask ourselves when we get ourselves in a fix or a desperate situation or when the odds are against us, how did I get here? How did I get here in this desperate situation? The Israelites had to take a good look at themselves, because the reason that they were in this desperate situation was their own fault. They had wandered away from God. They had gone off their rails. They had mixed it up with the local tribes that God said not to do that, and now they were practicing their detestable practices. They were victims of their own doing. And so, have you noticed that we live in a culture of victimization today? Everybody's got an excuse for whatever's going on in their life, and everybody's crying, everybody's like playing the victim card, and nobody wants to take responsibility for their part of the problem. Now, here's what you need to know. God is willing to help us if we'll come clean. We got to own our part of it. You know, most of the time we get ourselves in a fix. Once in a while, we're the total victim. Most of the time, we have some partial part that we played, some responsibility that we need to take if we're going to get out of that mess. And so, again, let me go back to the question. Are the odds against you, for instance, in your job or your career? Maybe you showed up this morning, you that are online. You say, "Yeah, I've got a real bad situation that I'm in, and the odds are against me." But let me ask you a question. Did you have anything to do with that? And if you did, maybe 10%, maybe 50%, whatever, you need to say, "Okay, I'll own that part." And then repent of it. Say, "Okay, God, I kind of messed things up a little bit myself, but I still need your help." Or maybe it's in your marriage. You've not been the husband, you've not been the wife that you need to be, and you know it, and your marriage has fallen apart. And you say, oh, God, I need to repent of that part, but please, please, I want my marriage to work. Or maybe you've got a significant other and you're in a relationship with them. And again, the relationship is kind of falling apart. So you have to look at yourself, take a good look at yourself and say, did I have something to do with the fact that things are not working in this relationship? How about your finances? You ever been there before? My wife and I have a few times in our life, like we get ourselves in a deep hole. Like, how did we get here? And we was like, oh, I can't blame anybody else but ourselves. And so we had to figure that out. We had to literally just say, God, we really screwed up. Now here's the good note, the good news for you. Whether it was your fault or whether it was you're completely, you know, innocent in the thing, God wants to help you. Because that's the kind of God that he is. He's a good God. He loves us, and he knows that we're pretty human, right? We don't always get it right. And he goes, look, whether it was your fault or not, I want to help you. And that's exactly what he wants to do with Israel. Gideon, in this case, he's completely innocent in this situation. And so God is going to come because God loves the underdog. So the next thing we need to do is we need to surrender the situation to God. When the odds are against us, you got to say, okay, God, it's bigger than me. I'm going to surrender the situation to you. Let's pick it up in verse 4. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the springs, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. And when Gideon took the warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. One put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like a dog. And the other group put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and they drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. And so Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns and all the other warriors and had them sent home. But he kept the 300 men with him. So he went from 32,000 down to 10,000. Now he's got 300 men. And I love the way the Lord does this. He basically says, okay, we're gonna do something that's so amazing that you're going to know that you had nothing to do with it and that I had everything to do with it. And what he does is he picks out the elite soldiers. Like, these guys are like the Navy SEALs. I mean, think about it. All these guys come down, and they're drinking, and the guys are going like this. You know, they're like lapping up the water, and they're looking around. That's the Navy SEALs right there. All the other guys are like drinking like a bunch of cows. They got their mouth down in the water. They're not even looking out for the enemy. And by the way, the enemy is still out there, right? So God says, I got some elite forces for you. And this is the way that we're going to do this. You know, if you and I can, like, if you're in a situation and you can fix the situation by yourself, then fix it. God has made us intelligent. He's given us capabilities. He's given us gifts and talents, right? But if you can't, and the odds are against you, that's when you need to call on God. And when you call on God, you better be ready for anything. I don't know about you, but many, many times in my life, I've said, God, the odds are against me, and I'm calling on God. And I think I'm probably wired like you guys are a lot, and I visualize how God's going to do it. And I'm telling you, 90% of the time, he doesn't do it the way I visualized. I'm like, God, I would do it this way. And of course, Isaiah said, God's smarter than us. You know, his ways are not our ways. He thinks different than we do. And that's just proved to be true in my own life. In verse 2, it says, God says, you have too many warriors. And again, Gideon's just got to be going, I do not understand this. Okay, but I'll go with it. And so he tells us in verse 2, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, and this is how Gideon's coming to understand kind of what God is up to. If I will let you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they have saved themselves by their own strength. So what is God trying to do? We got to remember, where is Israel right now? In terms of their faith, they're at a very, very low place, very low ebb in terms of where their faith is at. And so God is saying, and he's going to show you, he goes, I'm going to do something that is so amazing, so miraculous, that you will have no doubt that it wasn't you, but indeed it was me. And this is the way. I mean, he's going to orchestrate this miraculous situation so that they'll know. You know, through the years, I've talked to a lot of people that are skeptics of faith and God and the Bible. And one of the things that I've heard said, and maybe you've heard this too, is they say, you know, one of the things that bugs me about God, he's such a glory hound. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, you people, you're always talking about give glory to God and, you know, glory to God. Why does God need glory? Is he a glory hound? Is that like, I don't get that. Why does he need that? Well, here's one of the reasons, and probably the primary reason. You and I are not wired to handle glory. We're not. You and I, we can't handle glory. What happens is it gets into our pride, it gets into our ego. We become ugly all of a sudden. You probably have seen it with people that all suddenly they emerged and like, boom, it all got ugly. We can't handle it. And the only one who can handle ultimate glory is God, because he's the creator and we're not. He's the creator and he's worthy of our glory. And so I like the idea that, and this is, I think, a beautiful trade-off. Here's God's trade-off. He says, you give me the glory and you'll get the blessing. Just give me the glory and I'll come through for you and you'll get the... Does anybody think that's a pretty good trade-off? Yeah, because, I mean, if I give myself the glory, it's probably not going to go too well. As somebody has said, a self-made person worships their creator. We were not made to worship ourselves or anybody else. In fact, this is one of the reasons the Apostle Paul, who was a very powerful, intelligent, bright, incredible guy, said, when I am weak, then I am strong. That makes sense. Like, what? That doesn't make sense. It does if you understand that when you invite God into a situation, suddenly you strengthen your position, and you are now in a position of strength. That's why Paul would go on to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Next thing is you got to take action, okay? So you got to assess the situation, you got to invite God into the situation, and then you got to take action when the time is right. So let's read verses 9 through 16. That night, the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged, and then you will be eager to attack. I've discovered that when I'm afraid, a lot of times God will do little things to show me that he's with me so that I can sort of deal with my fear. So Gideon took Purah, and he went down to the edge of the enemy camp, and the armies of the Midian Amalek and the people of the east settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. And Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. And the man said, I had this dream. And in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp, and it hit a tent, and it turned it over, and it knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all of its allies. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed and worshiped before the Lord. And then he returned to the Israelite camp and he shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. And he divided the 300 men into groups and gave each man a ram horn and a clay jar with a torch on it. Wow, that's some kind of a weapon, huh? Like, can I get an M16? No. You're going to get a jar of clay, you know, and you're going to have this ram's horn. That's how we're going to fight this. Wow. There is a time for action. When you call on the Lord and you go, God, things are against me and it's not working and I need, there will come a point when you have to say, okay, you know, and don't get ahead of God. I've done this way too many times in my life. I think I know what it is and I do the wrong thing. But the Lord will let you know. Remember that when God is with you, and I love this, the odds are always in your favor when God is with you. A few weeks ago, this really played out in our church. It was just a few weeks ago that we didn't really have a church home. As many of you know, when the pandemic hit, we were looking for a place, and quickly there was a church that came to our rescue, and they blessed us, and we're thankful for that church. But then after a period of time, for a lot of reasons, logistical reasons with our children's ministry, other things, it just wasn't working for us. And in fact, it actually started to get really, really uncomfortable, and we felt like we were losing momentum. And so the staff and I gathered together. We started really praying about this, and it's like, what should we do? We felt like the odds were stacked against us, like we have no place to go. And we just took this leap of faith. And we said, okay, we're just going to temporarily meet over at Crown Point Shores, and we don't know how long that's going to be. Like, again, no place to go. And within just, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, we were contacted by the principal of this school, Ms. Smith. And she said, I've heard about you guys. You've got, your reputation precedes you in terms of what you've done for the school, and you've blessed this school all these many years, and I'd like to talk to you. And so Tony and his wife Mary and myself met over here right in the office, and we talked to the principal, and she said, because I've heard so many great things about you, I'd like to invite you back. And at that point, it was just like working out the final details with her. And we did that, and here we are today. The odds were stacked against us. Like, where were we going to go? And believe me, I have searched high and low. All of us have, for churches and, you know, buildings, and you just, here we are. And for that reason, I think we ought to just give God the glory for that. Yeah. So let's see what God does here. Verse 17. Then he said to them, keep your eye on me. And when I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. And as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horn, blow your horns too, all of you, around the entire camp, and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. It was just after midnight along the changing of the guard. And when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp, suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. And then all the group, three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. And they held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hand. And they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. There's a great, great victory. And there's really a principle that plays out here. And that is when you and I are facing the odds that are against us, and we're like, there's just no way I can do this, that God will come to our rescue. And sometimes, if there's an enemy out there, he'll even confuse the enemy, because that's what happens here. I mean, these guys far outnumber Israel. There's no way in the world that Israel should have been able to conquer them. But God sets this whole thing up and sends the enemy into a state of confusion. It reminds me of something that happened about 15 years ago. It was Tuesday morning, and I was going to go for a surf, and so I drove to one of my favorite surfing spots over in Ocean Beach, and I just pulled into the parking lot, and a really good friend of mine at the time, he was a pro surfer, his truck was actually parked next to mine, and I noticed that somebody had taken wax and wrote all kinds of horrible things on his window. And so that was the first thing. I'm like, what in the world is going on here, you know? And just about as I'm getting out of my vehicle, he runs up to me and he goes, Steve. And he was at that time going to our church, which was called South Coast Church. He says, you got to help me. These guys want to kill me. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? He goes, no, sir, it's really bad, you know. And so I go, okay. And I didn't really know what I was walking into. So as we walk up, and there's this, like, this whole circle of guys, and they are angry. And the leader of the guy who wanted to particularly, you know, really do damage to my friend was right there, and I knew who he was. He was this super angry, muscular, looked like he was on steroids kind of a guy who I had heard yelling at other people, and he was known for being violent. So I'm like, oh no, this is not a good situation. So I'm standing there next to my friend, and this guy, you know, he continues with his threats, and he gets into he's also a cage fighter, MMA stuff, so he gets down in his position. And I'm like, are you kidding? What's going to happen here? And so my friend says, hey, I brought my pastor. And suddenly, I mean, this guy, he gets out of his position, and it looks like all the wind has just gone out of him. And he's like, he had this look, and he goes, what? And my friend says, yeah. He goes, this is my pastor. He goes, I brought my pastor. And the guy goes, you brought your pastor? And he goes, yeah. And he literally didn't know what to do. The rest of the guys were kind of looking at the ground like, oh, man, you know, what are we going to do now, man? He's brought his pastor. And they just turned around and walked away. It was just one of those moments. These guys were confused. And I feel like that's sometimes what God will do, you know? I mean, I'm sure my buddy in that moment before I arrived, he was going, God, you got to help me. This guy was going to do serious damage to my friend. And so I showed up, and God used both of us. And against all odds, he was able to walk away from that unharmed. So that's what God wants to do for us. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says this, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me. That's God saying, I've got your back. The odds are against you. Whatever you're facing today, I've got your back. So again, this morning, if you're here online, do you feel like the odds are against you? Assess the situation. Invite God into that situation and get ready to take action. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you understand our humanness, our brokenness, sometimes our sinfulness. And yet, in spite of all of that, Lord, you love us so much. You're always there for us. And I want to pray for anybody today who feels like they're really up against the odds. And it doesn't look good. Maybe it's inside of a marriage or some other kind of relationship. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's even a physical thing. Lord, you know the situation. And I pray right now that as people are opening their hearts up to you, and they're maybe naming their situation to you right now, that you would, in this moment, reveal to them that you care about them, that you see them, you see their problem, you see what they're up against. And that, Lord, that you would help them to know that you're gonna get them through this situation. If there's an enemy involved, God, that you'll be there for them. You might even confuse the enemy. You'll diffuse the situation because we are your people, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen and amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.